Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
Merciful Jesus. Let it end. For the love of all that is holy in heaven, let it end. I can't do it anymore. And a good afternoon, everybody. What a beautiful Monday. Golly, we ought to take the day off.
You're just in a good mood because you had a three-day weekend.
I did, man. Spent all Friday with my youngest daughter. Went to Barnes & Noble, got some books.
Good for you.
Yep. Drove through Mission Hills to show her the houses we'll never be able to afford. I'm not kidding. We had some coffee. She's into coffee now all of a sudden.
Yep. So, I tell you, I broke my Starbucks habit, which is funny because I'm sitting here with one. My aunt.
I guess that didn't last very long.
My aunt, when she was here, taught me how to make the world's best iced coffee for the morning. And she said to me, you know, Dana, if you stop going to Starbucks every day, you could buy a car at the end of the year, like an actual car.
Oh, please.
And so she got me the ingredients. It is not rocket science. I make the coffee at night. I stick it in the fridge. It's cold the next morning. We've got some whipped cream action going on that stuff now. I put some Splenda in it.
Mm.
And it's the first time that I've really slowed that habit.
Let's cut to the chase. What happened yesterday?
I want to talk about it. We have a lot of stories to get to today.
Well, let's share that one first, and then we'll get to some stories.
So you had your little three-day weekend, and then I woke up this morning, and the first thought in my head was, there is no way I'm going to work. Like, it just wasn't happening today.
Why?
Because I fell down a flight of stairs on the way to lunch yesterday.
I'm sorry?
Huh?
I fell down a flight of stairs.
You fell down the whole stairs?
Concrete parking garage stairs.
Almost every year. Ever have a heavy set aunt fall down the steps? Make a whole lot of noise. It's scary too, because they be calling Jesus on the way down. And aunts don't like to fall straight down the steps like a kid. They be trying to break the fall and hold it and stop the shit. And that just make the fall take a half hour then. Real loud, yeah, like
Lord Jesus Christ, help me, Lord, please, Jesus, please.
So what happened to you?
No.
Where were you?
Have you ever had this happen?
I've never fallen down the stairs.
Okay, well, in my house, it happens all the time. I have children flying down the stairs regularly, and it's become kind of a thing. This happened in a parking garage, which scared the heck
downtown,
out of me.
Downtown, or where were you?
Park Place.
Okay, so in
And I'm sure there's a security guard somewhere absolutely rolling on the ground at how ridiculous I looked. Because you know in a parking garage, you go down like 10 stairs, and then there's a sharp turn, and you go down like another 10 stairs.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it sounded like. Lord Jesus, help me, I'm halfway down.
My shoe!
My shoe! And so I'm wearing tennis shoes, pretty good tennis shoes.
You were wearing tennis shoes.
Yes. And I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and as I make the turn, like an idiot, I turned my head back to say something, which was not even important.
Yeah.
And I body surfed the entire way down.
Jesus, God, help me, Lord. Jesus, help me. I'm falling down the steps. Oh, Lord, Jesus Christ, please.
Okay, continue.
I body surfed the entire way down. Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Did you try to stop your fall at any point?
Have you ever fallen so quickly that the wind is knocked out of you and you just don't even know what happened?
No.
That's what it was. One minute I was standing and the next minute I was face first eating concrete on the landing, legs up over my head. I mean, it was what just happened? And so I wake up this morning.
Oh, God.
My knees, my right ankle, my wrists. Oh, my God, my wrists hurt. I am so thankful that I didn't break both wrists.
My shoe.
Yep.
My shoe.
I woke up this morning. I said, there's no flipping way I can go to work. I feel like I've been hit by a car. So I got a massage before I came in. And the nice woman says to me, are there any areas you'd like me to focus on today? Are you having any pain?
Oh, start at the head and work your way down.
My entire body is in pain, ma'am.
Oh, Lord Jesus, God damn it.
Did you go back to get the shoe?
My shoe.
My shoe. Well, are you okay?
I'm okay. Everything's in one piece. You know what? I'm taking the elevator from this day forward.
Holy crap. That's funny.
You didn't even check your text message. I said to you, I don't even know if I can come in. I fell down an entire flight of stairs.
I don't care.
I walk in and he goes, what were you talking about? Stairs? What happened? And I go, do you...
I read the text.
Thank you, Samuel. I know that you did.
I didn't. I just read the part that said, get Eddie Murphy's falling down the stairs. Get ready.
I'm halfway down now. Heaven Lord.
That skit is so funny, man. So funny. All right.
Playing on a loop in my head yesterday.
So we will get to a few things election related. Keep in mind the rules of the show, though. We do not mention anyone by name. Okay, we don't talk about these people. We talk about the election process, not the politics that we're all going through and dealing with outside of this show.
When will it be over? It's the only thing I care about. I need a number.
You want my guess?
Yes.
Thursday.
When?
Thursday. In the afternoon.
Thursday afternoon.
That's when I think Thursday or Friday, probably Thursday.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, not at all. Pennsylvania doesn't even start counting their mail-in ballots until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.
6 a.m. the next morning.
See, I feel like most people...
Oh, did they move it to 6 a.m.? Okay.
I think most people feel like on election day, that's election day, and we should just go to bed and be done with this.
Well, that's not how it works. And keep in mind, that's not how it ever works.
I mean, I remember some Dan Ratherisms late at night. You know, removing this guy from this column and putting him in that column. But we've always had a winner late at night.
Do you remember in 2000, I can't remember what anchor it was. It wasn't Peter Jennings.
The Hanging Chad year, of course, went on into the night.
Somebody I'm using the word properly. Someone said on one of the major news channels, which is to say ABC, NBC, or CBS, after they kept flip-flopping Florida overnight, you know, first Bush won it, then Gore won it. No, wait, Bush may have won it.
Yeah.
No, wait, Gore. And finally, the anchor said, can we get it right?
That's right. That's right.
And he was frustrated on air. He just slams his hand down and goes, can we get it right? And keep in mind, that went on for weeks.
Weeks.
It wasn't until mid-December, early
when,
December.
When Kathleen Harris, what was her name? Catherine Harris,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. So and you think Thursday.
I think late Thursday or sometime early Friday is what I'm guessing.
Why? Because if everyone keeps saying it's really only down to these six states, then why is it going to take freaking 3 days to figure it out?
First of all, keep this in mind, and you guys are welcome to weigh in at 576-7798. We're not talking about the candidates. You can do that somewhere else on an AM dial, okay? We're talking about the election process. When do you legitimately think it is going to be over? I say Thursday, late Thursday afternoon is my guess. But keep in mind, states like North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Texas, all sort of toss-ups, if you will, this year, do begin their early voting ballot counting as they come in. So those states, theoretically, we could know by tomorrow night, okay? But it's states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin that do not start counting until Election Day. And you say it's Pennsylvania. I heard the Secretary of State saying they're going to start counting tomorrow morning when the polls open. But one of those states has said we're holding off until Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning at 6 a.m.
And keep in mind, in Pennsylvania, they had 3 million early vote ballots come in.
Start counting.
The bitch is falling down the steps again.
Just call the angel of the morning angel. Just touch my cheek before it is election eve here in America. It all ends tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. At least the voting and the political ads do. But we're asking you, and we don't talk politics, but we do talk elections. So I don't want to hear, I voted for so-and-so, and I'm expecting this and that from so-and-so, and I don't care. What we're asking you is, this is an election unlike any, at least in my lifetime. And it seems like every 4 years you say that. This is the most important election of my lifetime.
Well, no. Let's not use important.
This is
the most contentious.
Interesting.
And certainly 2000 was contentious and interesting.
Sure.
But we have a couple of stories in the stack today, Scott, where hardware stores are running out of plywood.
They're boarding up buildings in D.C.,
because
New York,
businesses
LA.
Are boarding up buildings?
Mm-hmm. 96 million Americans have already voted early. And according to CNN, that is 70% of the entire vote in 2016. So we're asking you, when do you think we will know, as a people, that we will actually know who won this election? In some states, they're already counting the early ballots as they come in. Read Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Texas. In some states, they're either waiting until, by state law, waiting until tomorrow at 7 o'clock their time. And one state, and Sam keeps saying it's Pennsylvania, I'll double check on that, they're going to wait until Wednesday at 6 a.m. 576-7798. Let's go to Channel 9 political reporter, good friend of the show, Michael Mahoney. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Scott. How you doing?
Well, we're doing well. Thank you, man. Let us ask you the question that we're asking the audience. When will we know, in your opinion?
You're going to hate this answer. It depends. It depends on what the size of the margin of the victory is. If it's a blowout one way or the other, I believe the networks that are going to be very, very cautious, and the decision desks that are behind this are going to be very, very cautious. But if it's a blowout one way or the other in terms of Electoral College or a popular vote spread, it could be done on Tuesday night. I don't think that's likely. I think you got to wait for, obviously, several states. And here's sort of a guidepost on this. Florida is very used to having mail-in ballots and absentee and early voting. They've been doing this for years. And even though it might be a close election, Florida will probably deliver a pretty substantial count early on.
Right.
North Carolina, another big one, is having all sorts of problems with voting. That's going to be a state that will take a while. Pennsylvania, also lots of problems, very unfamiliar with mail-in voting and lots of advanced voting. That could take a while. Could take a while, several days. Same thing in Wisconsin and in Michigan. Arizona, another battleground state, is also very accustomed to counting votes early. In fact, both Florida and Arizona, they've already been counting the advance ballots. They're not releasing the totals, but they've been counting that for some time now, and their first reports will have a lot of those votes in it. I'm sorry.
What have we seen leading up to this point that could suggest there will be a fight over these ballots?
Well, lots of things. There are threats from the president. Both the Democrats and the Republicans always have a small platoon of lawyers, and maybe it's not even going to be a small platoon,
yep,
but a larger one, every major national election to go in and check and see if there are irregularities that can be challenged. This is going to happen, and you know, the president has said a number of times that he's prepared to raise some serious questions about the voting, especially the mail-in voting, which ironically he mailed in his own vote.
That is important to point out. He mailed in his own vote. His daughter mailed in her vote. Jared Kushner mailed in their vote.
The man who shall be known as T. Actually, this year he voted in person.
Well, but he mailed in the past.
Yes, he has mailed it in the past. That is correct. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It could be several days before this is finally determined. And remember, please remember and remind your listeners out there, it's not the popular vote. It's the electoral vote,
yeah.
Okay? In Missouri, there are 10 electoral votes. In Kansas, there are 6. You have to get to 270. And so the reason that Hillary Clinton, even though she won the popular vote by 3 million in 2016, is not the president today, is because she did not win enough votes in the Electoral College. Donald Trump defeated her there.
And that is the way we do it. And we thank you for weighing in, Mr. Mahoney. As always, good to talk to you.
Hey, Michael, get some sleep tonight. You're going to need it, buddy.
You're going to be up tomorrow.
No sweat. I love this time of year. This is my Christmas.
Amen, brother. Hey, always good to hear your voice, and be well, and the best of the family.
All right. Okay. Thanks for asking, folks. See you later.
All right. Talk to you soon, Michael. That's Michael Mahoney, political reporter for Channel 9. Joe, Joel, and the others, hang tight. You guys are next. 576-7798. Election Eve, ladies and gentlemen. But when will we really know? No! That is what we are asking you. We're going to keep this politics free. That's the way we play the game over here, okay? So I don't care who you voted for or voting for. I don't want to hear about it. Nobody else does either.
If you're boarding up your business, we want to hear about it.
Yeah, if you're boarding up your business, I'd love to hear from you.
Who are these people boarding up their businesses?
People who are afraid that their businesses are going to get ransacked and looted?
I had a mom text me today that she's hearing some people may pull their kids out of school. I'm like, why?
Like elementary?
People are crazy right now, but are we that crazy?
Are the kids crazy?
I think the kids are fine.
When will we know? Joe, line one. What up, man? Are you in Nevada or Nevada, Missouri?
Nevada, Missouri,
okay.
Heading up to Kansas City.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, Dana, I love you to death, but, you know, they make handrails for these steps. And I would have given anything. I thought I was going to have to pull over. I was laughing so hard. Just you describing that, then hearing Eddie Murphy doing his shtick on it.
Well, and, Joe, I'll tell you, if the security guard is listening at, you know, 3:33 yesterday afternoon, we'll take that footage.
Laughing. He's still laughing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about? He took it home.
Yeah, he did. He's going to make $10,000 off a TV show.
Right, that's right.
Scott, you are the most optimistic individual out there. I love you, brother, but, you know, if this is a close race, I'm saying 10 days to 2 weeks, because they've just got literally hundreds of lawyers just sitting and waiting for this.
Fair.
This is, you know, this is their Disneyland, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's just, and I hate to see it. You know, I would love to see a landslide one way or the other so that we can just get it over with.
And move on.
Yeah. I mean, it's like pulling teeth without any anesthesia. You know, it just, oh, man, this has been a painful year.
It's almost over, brother. It is
almost
over. Well,
you keep saying that, and now I'm worried that it won't be. Because go back to 2000 and Bush Gore. How long did that take? Because in my memory, it wasn't as long as you're making it out to be.
Oh, it was. It was at least 10 days, 2 weeks.
Oh no, it was longer than that.
I mean, we all remember the iconic photo.
Actually, it went into December, didn't it?
Yep.
You remember, Joe, the iconic photo of the election board representative looking through the magnifying glass,
the hanging chads
at the hanging chads.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Because I gave my sister lives in Florida, and I give her flack, and she's going, they're not counting our votes. And I said, well, you know, how hard is it to put a hole in a piece of paper with a pencil?
Right.
Right.
And I said, you're a doctor, and you can't even do that? And, you know, of course, that started it. But, you know, I never understood, you know, in the last election, of course, I understand the Electoral College, and we have to have it that way. But it just seems like the last three or four elections have just been nuttier and nuttier and nuttier. And you keep asking yourselves, you know, what next? Can it get any worse? This is an absolute zoo.
Right.
Australia has a – I got a call from a cousin this morning in Australia that said that the United States has been put on a watch list. Do not come to the United States because they're worried about riots and all the violence.
That's sad.
Well, and I will just remind everyone listening the hypocrisy in all of it from both sides.
Sure.
In that in the year 2000, it was one party fighting tooth and nail to get every one of those mail-in ballots counted. And fast forward to 2020, and it's the opposite party fighting to get them counted and the party in control fighting to keep those ballots out.
Mm-hmm. It's the great hypocrisy of American politics.
Completely come full circle. Yep. And as Scott pointed out, and rightly so, it's opposite on both sides.
That's right.
Where the Democrats back then were trying to stop those votes from being counted, and now they are fighting to count every single one of them.
Let's go to Joel in North Kansas City. Joel, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Since it's just been that year already, I'd like to throw out a little wrinkle. If neither candidate gets 270, then we know that goes to Congress after the new session.
It does.
Yes.
And which is in January, when the new session is actually coming.
But here's something interesting. I looked that up because I saw what you wanted to talk about.
You're saying if there is a...
Mathematically, you could get to 269 each. Theoretically, it's never happened.
Well, now I did a little reading on the internet, and it said that has happened three times. I think back in the 1800s.
Well, okay, in modern history, it's never happened. I'll look that up, but I don't know about that.
So, the new session of Congress, then, if I read correctly and I understood, then the House would pick the new president, and the Senate would select the new vice president.
Yes, but in what I was reading while we were waiting to get you on is that in the House, each state delegation gets one vote.
That's correct. So there would be 50 votes for president based upon the block within an individual state for the president. And then each senator, and if I didn't misunderstand that, each senator, so there'd be 100 votes for a vice president.
Correct. The Senate picks the vice president.
Right.
But Joel, what and Scott, I think, rightly pointed this out. To get to that tie at 269, the math is nearly impossible.
Yes.
For that to happen, the math would be so wacky with certain states going one way.
Ways that they've never gone. Yeah.
Well, certainly that's true. It probably won't happen. But there are a lot of probablys that have happened this year.
Amen.
By the way, Joel, thank you for the history lesson, buddy. 1800 and 1824 were decided in the House.
Yes.
Wow.
Which is to say Thomas Jefferson.
So good luck.
Yeah, good luck to us all.
Thanks, buddy. 576-7798. I'm still looking, and maybe somebody else is quicker with their internet and are not talking. Yes, Al Gore gave his concession speech on December 13th. December 13th is how long it lasted.
And inauguration is January
20th.
20th.
Mm-hmm. To Pat in Raymore, 576-7798. Hello, Pat.
Hello. Hi. Quick.
Yeah, welcome.
Well, we don't want to keep you waiting. We know you got places to go.
Yes, I do. Well, this came out on Rachel Maddow's show, and I assume she's pretty credible, maybe 10 days or so. It was before Amy Coney, the new justice, was confirmed, but during her hearings and things. But in 2000, with the Al Gore debacle. There were three people involved in counting the ballots in Florida, and there was like one last bundle that it turned out that Amy made sure got counted, and the other two people that approved it, I guess Brett Kavanaugh, Beer Boy, was somebody's clerk, and I'm sorry, I'm bad with names, but then the one of the justices who passed away, it may have been Scalia, I'm not entirely sure. But at any rate, at that point in time, those three people had a pretty big impact on things that have happened since then.
You'll get no argument from me. In hindsight, though, they've done a million research projects on the 2000 election, and it was decided properly.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jason in KCK. Hello, Jason.
Hey, I won't waste too much of your time here. I just wanted to make sure you guys clarified. There's a big difference between requesting your ballot, a.k.a. mail-in, versus absentee ballot when you are in another state and you have to request your ballot, versus mailing ballots out to everybody in your state. I just happened to cross by your station and heard that, and just really bothers me when you guys can't even, you know, acknowledge that fact. So I'll let you go. You guys have a good one.
Well, hang on, Jason. You don't just pop in and jump off. You got to engage in conversation.
No, sure. Hence,
it's called a talk show. I don't recall saying the term absentee ballot or mail-in ballot, but we've obviously upset you. I don't understand what was said necessarily, and maybe it was something that was said that just kind of flew by the window and I didn't catch it, but you're welcome to explain it.
No, the misconception, I mean, the talking points for, you know, MSNBC and the Democrats and everything else is that he, you know, he bashes the mail-in ballots, but that's not the case. I mean, the case is mail-in ballots are less secure than actual absentee ballots. And Florida's been doing it for a long time. They've got it down to where you request your ballot, you get it, and everything's documented. And versus a lot of these Democrat-run cities where they're wanting to mail these ballots out to every household.
Well, Democratic cities are not in charge of the election. The states are.
I understand that, but Democrat states, well, the counties are actually, Scott, but that's...
It's run by the Secretary of State, but I'll digress.
I understand, but it's actually, I mean, I agree with you. I can't argue that bad. It is, but we all know that the counties elect their officials and they run the individual counties.
But wait, let me ask you this, Jason. I don't know if you voted in 2000, One party loved the mail-in ballot system during that election, and one party is railing against it during this election. And the only question I had was, if the mail-in ballot system is so wrought with fraud, then why are members of the president's own family mailing in their ballots and smiling with photos of their mail-in ballot? If it's so bad, why are members of his own family doing it?
We're doing the word plays on mail-in. There is a difference between, if you actually look at how Florida has their so-called mail-in ballots, and it's honestly, if you type in absentee ballot mailed in, it'll come up as mail-in ballots, because that's the way every story, 99% of the stories are printed. But there is a big difference between how Florida actually does their quote-unquote mail-in ballots versus a lot of these counties or states that are doing it the incorrect way. I got a buddy, he received two ballots from two different states because he used to live in another state and now he lives here. So they forwarded it on to here. So he's got two ballots.
Okay, well, and send in the one that you're not supposed to and see what happens to you.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I mean, we work for the government, man. So that's not the point. The point is that there is a big difference between the media and certain talking points that want to keep saying, "Oh, it's a double standard." No, it's not. It's a completely different. You know, there's a big difference between a mail-in ballot versus.
That's not true, Jason. There is not a big.
Absolutely true.
Okay.
I mean, Scott, seriously. You're comparing someplace where you have to actually request your ballot, get it initialed and signed by a witness, versus a place where they actually just send you out a ballot.
With respect, you're talking about the media using left wing talking points. By the way, they didn't come through on the facts today, so I'm flying blind today because I didn't get my left wing talking. Let me finish a sentence because I let you finish sentences.
Go ahead.
Thank you. You are using right-wing talking points, if you will, that mail-in ballots are just willy-nilly across the country just sent to everybody. I did a mail-in ballot this year, and I had to request it.
Correct.
Just as if I were, if I lived out of state, but my home was in Kansas, which it is, I would do an absentee ballot, and I would have to request it.
There, I agree 100%.
In the state of Kansas, at least, there is very little difference between a mail-in ballot and an absentee ballot other than where you are when you cast
it. And Jason, exactly. To
and
your point, Jason,
Florida,
different states use those terms. He is right in that different states tend to use those terms interchangeably.
Yes.
My issue with the mail-in ballot system, and we're late for break, has always been that you have to somehow sign your name exactly the way they have it on file without a stylist, with a computer mouse. My signature looked like a left-handed second grader who had just broken his arm. And that's my only issue with the mail-in ballot. How are you supposed to sign your name the exact same way using a flipping computer mouse?
5-7 is left-handed people.
Yeah, I'm left-handed. 576-7798.
Coming up a little later in the program today. 67-year-old man doesn't deny he used to go around town robbing people. He's been out of prison for 2 years, has led a model life, crime-free life, and the district attorney wants to put him back in prison. We're going to talk about that coming up. At an extraordinary cost. Why?
Just a quick correction to the previous caller, because I looked them all up. I looked up every single of the 50 states. Florida does not send out mail-in ballots to every registered voter. You have to request a ballot in the state of Florida. Terry in Gardner. Hello, Terry.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're
good.
Doing well,
hi.
Man. Thanks.
Good show. I just had this question, because last night, you know, this is an election where we educate ourselves a little bit. Now, last night, I was looking up who makes up the Electoral College. I mean, who are these people?
Yeah.
And basically, it's just individuals that are chosen by someplace, I guess, to make a decision as to who's going to, how they're going to cast an electoral vote for that state. And from what I read, basically, they don't have to go with their popular vote. They can decide, I'm pretty red. I like this guy, and I want to go with this guy.
Terry, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but just for clarification purposes, in half of the states, that is accurate. The other half, by law, you have to vote in the Electoral College the way your state went.
So let me understand. If there's 10 electorates in that state, they all have to vote. They all have to cast their vote to blue or red.
In roughly half of the states, I don't know the exact number, but in roughly half of the states, you have to, by state law, vote the way that your state went, or you are technically breaking the law.
Okay, so what about those other states? Those other states can completely control the election.
Welcome to the United States.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not fair.
Well,
and here's the problem that people like me stand on the outside, because I have felt like for the last three elections we've had a cloud over it, from the hanging chad to now. You know, we've had something that we're gonna have to have a judge in Florida decide this election. We're gonna have this hanging chad. We can't count that ballot or that ballot. Now this one we can't do this because it's a mail-in ballot, and you didn't sign your name right, Dana. That's ridiculous. I mean, we are making this so complicated that I'm starting to think, are we pawns?
Well, but yes, but Terry, and I've asked Scott this before, explain to me why you can't just go with the popular vote. Just explain to me why. And there's good and bad in both, but to Scott's point, I think you said this last week, if we went to a straight vote in, vote out system where everybody gets one, and at the end, whoever gets the most wins.
I don't like that idea.
Montana wouldn't have a chance.
The biggest, most populated states would control who we send.
The election, the candidates would only go to, for the most part, with some exception,
New York,
California, New York, Florida, California, Texas, and Illinois.
Exactly. They would control everything, and that wouldn't be fair either. So I understand the Electoral College, but it's not fair if the states, if they do not have to follow what the constituents say. They don't have to.
Yeah, Terry, I agree with you on that. If your state, under the current system, which I don't like that one either, I argued last week for a proportional, the way they do it in Nebraska and Maine, for a proportional Electoral College. Because right now, you know, if we just wrap up this conversation with a quick bow, if we go to a straight popular vote, California, Texas, Florida, New York, and Illinois are going to get the vast majority of the money on ads. Yep. They're going to get all the presidential candidate visits. But yep. The Electoral College means that another six or seven states get all the attention. Florida, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio. There's just no winning with either one. So I propose, as your next candidate for president of the United States in 2024, that we go to a proportional Electoral College. So if, for example, the Democratic candidate wins Kansas's third district, they get one. If the Republican wins the other three congressional districts,
they get three.
He or she gets three, and the two Senate seats go for the overall winner of the popular vote in that state. God, I'm sick of being the smartest guy.
I don't feel like that's a thing.
I don't fall downstairs. In parking garages.
I didn't fall. I body surfed. Get it right, please.
He was convicted of robbery. He did 27 years. Released. The Johnson County DA, Steve Howe, wants him back in prison. But why? We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.